It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
I'm Lynn Montemare.
And we want to thank our sponsors, of course, SeatSitters.com and Schoolcraft College. And I think a lot of us are aware of the wonderful restaurant over at Schoolcraft because of their culinary program. But have you had some of the craft beers that they brew there? Yes, they have a brewing and distillation program. It grants certificates and associate degrees, so they know what they're doing. And it's amazing craft beer. Also, you can learn how to do it. The classes have direct input from brewing professionals and owners of breweries. They can train you to become an entrepreneur, a specialist. You can own your own pub someday with your own beers that you're brewing. That is all available from classes at Schoolcraft College, schoolcraft.edu/brewpub. Check it out.
Could you imagine doing that? Talk about doing something you love. Making beer.
I know.
And drinking it. I mean, do they have a wine class?
Like, sorry, honey. Mom's at work right now.
I'm working, okay? That would be awesome. I would dedicate everything I had to my job if I was a winemaker.
Oh, a wine. My dad makes wine.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it delicious?
It's a little sweet for me.
Okay.
He keeps, I like a very dry wine.
Me too.
Everybody else likes his wine. Everybody else loves his wine. I find it just a tad sweet, but it's good. I mean, there are people who like wait for him to brew another batch.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? We could do it.
We could. I was going to say, I don't think I can. I can't.
No, you can.
I can. Well, he just taught my sister how to do it, too.
Oh, good. And maybe she thought she couldn't do it before that.
She probably did, too. But she just made her first batch of strawberry wine.
Nice.
I know. Well, and that's what we're talking about today. When you say, I can't.
This came up last week because I was talking to the guest we had from Schoolcraft College.
Yep.
And all the culinary programs that you just brought up. And I said that it's always bothered me, especially, you know, when anyone says this, but, you know, growing up when women have said, oh, I can't cook. You know, we don't eat.
I loved your comment about that.
Yeah.
What is your response?
No. Can you read?
There you go.
Because if you can read, you can cook. It's called a recipe book, okay? And now if you have Alexa, she'll just walk you through every step, so you don't even have to read.
Or
really.
You could watch a video and follow that along.
You could watch a video, and you can do it that way. So it always has bothered me when people say they can't do something instead of maybe they just don't want to do it. Like, I bet they just don't want to cook, and that's okay.
It is, and I don't know why we don't admit that.
Right, right. Do they think that's going to be, like, that they're going to look down upon if they say, I don't really like cooking. So I order out for my family or my husband makes some stuff or whatever. You don't have to say I can't cook.
Or how about I work 10 hours a day.
That's a good one too.
I am too exhausted to cook when I get home. But instead, I think what they're doing is when they say I can't cook, instead of I'm choosing not to, I have no interest in it, it's kind of giving themselves permission to not cook. But it's a cop-out. Like, you don't need, basically it's asking for other people's permission, and you don't need that.
No, no. And so my husband is famous for, like, if there's something in the house that's wrong, and I don't know why, maybe because I grew up with my dad who could fix everything. My dad was like, could fix
it. Yeah, mine
literally,
too.
One day, you know, as an adult, he came over to my house and I had a door that wouldn't stay shut. And he looks at it, he's like, I'm going to need two toothpicks. A set of pliers and some tweezers. I'm like, what are we doing? It's like fixing the door. I'm like, what, with toothpicks? He's like, yeah, the screws have, where they don't have, what do they call?
They're stripped.
They're stripped and the toothpicks. And I was like, what? That's pretty incredible, right? You know, but my husband, he'll just say he can't fix something. And it gets me really frustrated because I'm sure that I don't think every guy should know how to fix everything. But nowadays with like YouTube or internet, he could spend a few minutes look it up and figure it out. But he literally will walk away from, you know, I don't want to say all, but a good percentage of things that are going wrong in the house or something's, you know, like our toilet right now keeps sounding like it's running
all the time. Yeah.
I can't fix it. Yeah. Well, can
you watch a video?
Can you watch a video?
It's kind of an easy fix, the toilet thing.
Really?
Yeah, that's
Ken listens to all these too. Now he's going to be like, thanks, Remy.
It's so easy. You just got to take the lid off the back and get in there. It's the chain is like, it's off a little bit. So you got to adjust the chain so that it's at the right thing. It's really pretty simple. I changed the brakes on my car about a month ago. YouTube video.
Are you serious?
And it was easy.
Okay.
It saved me a whole bunch of money, and it was so easy. Just did the brakes on my car. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch video. I'm going to go up to the store. I saved like $200.
And were you at all scared to drive the car after you did it?
I went around the block slowly.
Okay.
I did, just to make sure.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, you can do it.
Speaking of that, you know my friend Jill Washburn.
Yes.
And she has a segment on Fox 2 where she works called Jill of All Trades.
Awesome.
Where she does videos showing people how they can do things on their own, like fix their own brakes. And in fact, she had one, I didn't get to watch it yet, but I saw the intro of it, and she was fixing her own taillight and said, yes, not only was I wearing a dress and heels, it was a light colored dress. That is how easy it was to do this. That's what I was wearing while I did that. And when we bought our first house, it was Jill who told me, because we took the table out that the owners had in the kitchen and they drilled it into the floor. I don't know why, but that left one tile with a hole in it, and I didn't really want that there. And Jill told me, you could replace that tile. I'm like, oh, I can't. She said, yes, you can. I went to the library. I got a book on how to, this was before the internet. That's how long I've been married. Or not before the internet, but before these things were available. And I got a book on how to replace tile, and I bought the supplies it told me. And one day while my daughter was taking a nap, I chipped that thing out and put a new one in, and nobody could tell.
You know, I think you just reminded me of something, why I get more frustrated with Ken too. Because back at our old house, he did put in a whole slate floor.
Wow.
In the basement, all around the bar area. And it looked great, and no one could tell he did it. And he put a lot of hours into that. It was like 6 weekends of putting in this floor, but he was able to do it. So I know he's capable of doing these things. And now, like you just point out, even putting your brakes on from seeing a video, he could do these things.
Well,
he's very smart. He's capable.
He is capable. And I was doing some research about the topic this weekend because I'm a nerd, but I found a bunch of articles, and I thought this one was very interesting. It was about how our brain actually loves negativity, because early man had to recognize negative things much quickly than they had to recognize and respond to positive things. Like early man had to see a tiger and respond quickly, whereas early man could take their time responding to a hug. Those were their examples.
Okay.
I'm like, well, that makes perfect sense. You needed to respond to danger quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So our brain responds much more quickly to negativity. And it also said that studies show we need 3 positive instances for each negative one to stay balanced. So it could be that when you were first married and he put that floor in, he didn't say, I can't, a lot.
Right.
And it could be that in the years since, he's been saying, I can't, not because he couldn't, but because he was too busy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But saying, I can't, all those years becomes cumulative. And I think, my theory from all of this, from what I read, is if you say it long enough, you start to believe it.
Right.
Whether or not it's true.
Very
so
deep.
I know, but isn't that kind of scary that we do that to ourselves?
Well, yeah, because even after we started talking about doing this topic, I started becoming more like aware when I would say, I can't. I was like, Lynn?
Yes, me
maybe
too.
You can. And if my kids say I can't, like, I really get frustrated if my kids say they can't, because I just feel like the whole world's still out there for these kids. I mean, they don't have all this like stuff that you just, you know, years of being built up with, I can't. You can. What is there really that you can't do? Like someone posted, when we posted this last week, they can't walk on water. They can't touch their foot to their back, which I thought, well, that's odd, but I'm going to give it a go. I'll try it. And something else, she couldn't fly without the without an airplane. Like, these are things, yes, you cannot.
Well, except as, and I responded, you can walk on frozen water.
Oh.
And some gymnasts and other people have learned, stretch themselves to touch their feet to their back.
Wow.
We've all seen Cirque du Soleil. And there's a.
True.
There's those little wing things, whatever they're called. Those
hang gliders?
Hang gliders, whatever. Yeah. You can fly without a plane. There's lots of ways to do it.
You definitely can't lick your elbow, though.
Oh, is that a thing?
Try it.
I think that proves you're a fairy.
It's hilarious.
Isn't that what it is?
If you can lick your elbow, you can't do it. But you look hilarious trying.
I mean, and
that's the whole point
and
of it.
Fairy, like, as in fairies, the fairies with wings who don't exist.
Exactly.
Yes. I'm not calling anybody a name. Well, no, I believe they exist. I wrote a book about them. So
you did. That's right.
I did.
So you can write a book.
Okay.
So anyone out there who has an idea and says, I just can't write a book, there's tons of information out there on how to write a book.
There's tons of information out there on anything. And I think especially for people our age, we talk ourselves out of being able to do things, which it's cumulative. It's all those years of saying I can't. And then suddenly, so maybe these people who say I can't cook believe they can't.
Right. Well, because, yeah, it's gotten to this point where they just keep saying they can't, probably because no one's been like right in their face like me and say, can you read? You know, because normally people just go, oh, okay, she can't cook. So sweet. But she can cook.
Yeah.
Or he can cook. Any one of us can cook.
Exactly.
I always think, but like the brain though, okay, so when Remy says that he watched a video and, you know, learned how to put the brakes on, I feel like my brain starts to like see this and I get overwhelmed and I start going, oh my gosh, and spinning and sweating. Like, will I be able to get that undone and put that back up there? And it's a safety thing. What if I drive the car and then the brakes don't work? You know, I mean, I think I think myself out of it. You know what I'm saying? I convince myself that I can't do it. And when really I really could, but it might take me 4 hours or it might take Remy 2 hours to do it or whatever it was. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. And there's nothing, again, there's nothing wrong with figuring out the cost factor.
Yes.
Like, it's going to take me more time to learn how to do this than it would cost me money to pay somebody else.
Right.
Like, there's nothing wrong with working that arithmetic out.
That's true.
But again, be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you can't.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is what I have to do with my time. And am I ever going to use this skill again?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not. If you're not, and there's somebody who can do it professionally and quickly, you know, I, for a while, lived by the mantra, I'm not going to do anything for myself that other people can make a living at doing.
Right. Right. That's good.
Which, you'd be surprised. That didn't last long.
But, you know, here's another thing. Like, when you get, like, one of these pieces of furniture or one of these toys that you have to put together for the kids.
Oh.
Right. See? Yes. That is exactly what I think. As soon as I pull something out of the box and there's, like, parts and I start to immediately, like, I can't do this. So I'm calling my son. I'm calling Ken, who will also be like, I don't want to do that. I was impressed, though, because we had some furniture to put together here at the office. First of all, my partner, my business partner, is very good at putting furniture together. He, like, likes it. He sits it all out. You know, he's really good. And then I told my son I would pay him if he would come do some stuff for us. Well, one of the projects was to put together these desks that we had ordered. And I thought for sure when he saw it, because he's my son, he's probably going to be like, no. I was really impressed. He got it done.
Wow.
Yeah. But see, I just feel like, again, this is why I've been thinking about this so much since we talked about it. I want to say my brain doesn't work that way, but I probably was in the same line when everyone else got brains handed out. Like, right? We all started with the same thing. So, I mean, it's not like I'm not capable of reading the instructions and doing it and finding someone that can do it for you. I still have to pay my son.
Well, yeah, but...
But it might be a good accomplishment for me to do it.
Everyone's brain is different, and we all do have different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I was trying to learn how to sew, because all the women in my family sew. And I took sewing in home ec. This is back when we had home ec class, kids.
Yeah.
And, ask your grandma about it.
Yes.
So I did sew something in home ec class. It wasn't very good. And all the women in my family sew and could make fabulous things. So I actually took a class to learn how to sew. And I wasn't getting much better at it. And I was up visiting my sister, and I was talking to her about it. And she said, Yeah, you're not very good at imagining things backwards. So that's why it's difficult for you to sew, because that's, and I said, oh, but then once I understood why it was difficult for me and why it would take me longer to do something, I was done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why am I going to struggle with this?
Yeah.
So, but I know if you know your strengths, you know, like, you know, sit down. Some people I know have a hard time like sitting down and writing a letter for, you know, like a job.
Right.
Or a resume or something. And I'm like, I'll do that for you in 4 minutes. That's
right.
For me, that's very easy because that's how I think.
But I think it's funny, like I'll even say to people, and again, now I'm so hypersensitive about this word can't, but I'm like, I can't shop at TJ Maxx, you know, and I will meet, like if you line up, right, if you line up like 50 people, a good portion will say they can't shop at TJ Maxx either. It's like too put together, like the white shirts aren't all with the white shirts, the black pants aren't all with the black pants.
That store is pure chaos. Pure chaos. It's just not worth the deal after a minute. You're like, I can't. I know you've
right,
got great
see?
Deals in here somewhere. I just can't find them.
Right. I can't find them. And I have friends who will be like, oh, all I do is, you know, Marshall, TJ Maxx, Nordstrom Rack. I love doing all this. I'm just like, I literally have the most positive attitude every time I'm driving to one of these places. Like, I just went to Nordstrom Rack last week. I'm like, you're going to do it, Lynn. You got some time. You're going to make this happen. I get there and I'm all like, what? And then what do I end up doing? Buying socks or something? I think I did buy socks. Something that takes no real brain or putting anything together. And I'm like, why does this, why? I want to be that girl. I can't focus when I'm in there or something. Is there a YouTube video for that?
Maybe. Or maybe you need to go with somebody who is good at shopping at stores like that.
That would be helpful. And then I could see what they do.
And have them explain their process to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that's not my forte. I will do it if I know I need a lot of time if I'm going to go to a store like that, mm-hmm. where it's chaos. And another article I was reading about I can't says, when you're saying I can't, you're really saying I don't have the resources. I don't want to. That scares me to death. Or I'd prefer to do something else.
Mm-hmm. I think that is so true.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But the article also said that one of the reasons it's not good to say it is because it lets us off the hook and we don't own that decision anymore. It's out of our
right.
hands. Which, why would you give up any sort of personal responsibility or personal anything? You know, I don't like that. Like that article really struck home for me,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, wow, I don't want to give away anything. I don't want to say I can't do anything because that's taking it out of my hands. I'm no longer responsible for it. Somebody's got to be responsible for me when that thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to rely on somebody else.
Right. I do try to do things like if I'm home alone or my husband's out of town. And something happens, like back in the olden days, if a toilet got clogged up, I'd be like, thank God I have another toilet.
Yeah.
Because he's not home for 3 days and I can't unclog that. Then I started doing this to myself. I'm like, you know what, Lynn? You are going to do things that come up because God forbid what happens if one day I am alone. I can't keep calling someone to come unclog my toilet, for example. I got to figure these things out. So I do always feel like, you know, if I do those little things, those are accomplishments, because back in the day, I would say, I can't unclog that toilet. You know, I would push and push the plunger and it never worked. Now I'm like, you're not leaving this thing until, you know, it's fixed. So I try to, when the opportunity comes, make sure I can do even like
little
things.
Well, like baby steps.
Baby steps.
But that's how you have to start with anything.
Right. You know who I bet doesn't say I can't?
Who?
The inventor of seatsitters.com.
I'm guessing no.
Because so many entrepreneurs are out there. I and my close friends know I have had several ideas over the years of inventions. Several. And everyone's like, well, why don't you do it? I can't figure out how to take it from, yeah, see? Oh, everyone's pointing their fingers at me
wow.
right now in the studio. And I've got lots. lots of ideas. But as you know, I'm sure, and we've talked about this, that airplanes are filled with tons and tons of nasty germs, right? And after you fly, you always find out, not always, but a lot of people will get sick and they blame it on the flight they just took, or they get to vacation and they get sick, they get home, they get sick, a family member gets sick. Well, you don't have to do that because SeatSitters.com is here to save you. SeatSitters Travel Kit was created just for that, for clean, healthy travel. It comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, two sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker. So for under $20, you and your family can fly healthy. Don't spend another vacation with a sick family member. Order your SeatSitters kit today at SeatSitters.com. Or now, exciting news, you can find it at BedBathAndBeyond.com in the travel section.
So it's very interesting. Right now, I am hosting 4 16-year-old baseball players from Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
Who are in town for the Maccabi games. And my husband had asked me months and months ago, when he heard that they were looking for families that were hosting, and he said, do you want to, you know, host some kids? And my first internal reaction, even though I wanted to do it, was, well, I can't do that. I don't have room in my house. I'm not that good at cook. I can't be responsible for getting them. And I was like, yeah, I know. I want to do that. That will be very fun. And then they called and were like, can you take 2 more kids?
What? Like,
there's 4 of them. Yeah. I just gave them the basement. They've got air mattresses down there. It's like camp. But
how's that going?
It's going well, but I keep finding myself putting up that wall of I can't. Like, I can't get these boys what they need. I can't, you know, get them to practice on time. And I have to keep talking myself through it. Like, okay, you signed up for this. You're a grown up.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it either, but if there's an opportunity for me to house like 26-year-old baseball players for a week, I'll give it a try.
They're lovely young men. But I've been thinking about it because I knew we were talking about this today. And so I've been trying to pay attention to when. And they have no idea. That's what's funny to me. This is what I've noticed. Like, I'm in the car. I'm trying to get them downtown in time for the opening games and get them to the right entrance.
Oh, my gosh. You have to do all the travel and everything, too? Wow.
Yes. So I'm trying to get them down to Little Caesars Arena in the right entrance. And they're trusting me. They think I can.
Of course.
They have no idea of my internal struggle of, oh, I hope I remember which entrance. I hope I know. And I think that's something we need to remember when we're feeling like I can't.
Right.
Is unless you say it out loud, nobody knows you can't.
Well, I think a really small example, but that something has changed for me, like literally in the last month, is so I have always golfed, right? And back in the day, I could hit a really good drive. And then something happened and I couldn't hit my drive to save my life for years. I've stuck with it. I've been in my league and every week it's torture. Because every drive shot is just terrible. I haven't hit a good drive in years. And I just, every week, I'd say out loud, I can't hit my driver anymore.
Oh.
Right? I can't hit my driver anymore. I said it every week. And now, I mean, again, because we just started, we were saying we were going to do this. I've been paying attention. But I have been saying it every Wednesday for many years.
Well, so, no wonder you can't.
Exactly. So my husband, who used to be a golf pro, went to school for that and gave many lessons. I finally went out with him like 3 weeks ago for 9 holes and let him coach and teach me for the entire 9 holes. Where normally I don't want his advice when I'm out there. I'd say it's too overwhelming. Can't do this when I'm golfing. But then guess what? I also didn't like to go to the driving range. So there really was nowhere to teach me.
Yeah.
And he told me to change my grip, which every time I went to get a lesson from someone else over the last 10 years, I'd say, I'll take a lesson, but I can't change my grip. Hear that again? I can't change my grip because it felt like the club was going to come out of my hand.
Yeah.
He worked with me, changed it. I want to just tell you that I don't want to jinx it. For the last 3 weeks, I've been hitting my drive every hole amazing.
Ooh.
Like, I feel like I went and played 18 holes yesterday. Do you know the last time I voluntarily went and played 18 holes?
Wow.
I can't even, it probably never existed. I am like liking it a lot more. I'm looking forward to my golf league. And it was all because it was in my mind.
Yes.
I can't hit my driver anymore.
Exactly.
I can't hit it.
So
right?
Here are 3 times you need to stop saying I can't. When you mean I won't.
Okay.
When you mean I don't want to. And when you mean I'm scared. And I think that's the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that's easiest to just say, oh, I can't do that. Because you're scared.
But I do like, I agree with you. Things that you don't, like I can't jump out of a plane. I could jump on a plane. My kid just did it. And they, you know, they would have wanted me to go with them, but mm-hmm. I'm too scared to do that. So I could do it.
You're choosing not to. There's 2 mm-hmm. of them there.
Right.
I choose not to.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What I think I need to start teaching people to, or like my family, to change their thing. Just say I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'd rather say I don't want to than I can't do it.
Or I prefer not to do that.
I prefer not to.
That doesn't sound like anything I would enjoy.
No.
But yeah, but I like the, I like knowing that using the word can't is making my brain more negative. So I'm going to specifically try not to do that.
Right.
Because I don't want to have a negative brain.
No, me either.
And I don't know if you out there want to have a negative brain. Hopefully this has helped you. We want to know if you have any tips or advice, anything you have found to overcome the C word. Let us know. You can find us at StacyandLynnPodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram. And we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us.